If one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours. In proportion as he simplifies his life, the laws of the universe will appear less complex, and solitude will not be solitude, nor poverty poverty, nor weakness weakness. And that was said by Henry David Thoreau. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. And well, the world just seems to be getting stranger and stranger as the weeks go by in 2013, and we have a situation that very much looks like a coup is about to take place or is in the process of taking place within the United States of America. And let me try to explain to you why I feel that a coup is taking place. And in order to do this, what we have to do is sort of step back and really look at the situation. And folks, this may take me a little bit of time to get around the whole lot, so I'd ask you to please listen to this entire broadcast. And if you're watching it on YouTube, then there will be four parts, and you can simply click the video response to see the next part. Or you can go to my channel and find the playlist, or you can go to thecrowhouse.com and you can check the radio archives and download the MP3. But I think that there is a coup being carried out in America right now, and I think that we can establish this very easily by simply paying attention to the details. So what do we see in America at the moment? Well, the whole Sandy Hook debacle is turning into quite a spectacle. We've got a massive amount of division throughout the community, people arguing, was this a hoax, was this not a hoax? We've got the mainstream media reporting on it. We've got people such as Gene Rosen now complaining that he's being harassed by Sandy Hook truthers. And it's also very predictable, isn't it, folks? But really, when looking at it, one should question, who is Gene Rosen? Why has he given different accounts of the event depending on the interviews? Why did he say it was a woman bus driver who was with the children to start with and later turned this to a loud man? Why is his story so full of holes? Why doesn't any of it add up? Why is the video footage of Gene Rosen rehearsing his lines on the internet? Why was that posted? Who posted that video footage? Why is there footage of him rehearsing his lines? Why was he even rehearsing lines on camera? Was he filming himself and someone stole the footage and posted it? What's it doing there? Where did it come from? Who made it? How did it get on the internet? What is the purpose of it, if not to stir up questions in the community? Why is everything about Sandy Hook so blatantly obvious? Why is the footage of Robbie Parker smiling and laughing before he puts himself in character for the news story on the internet? How did it get there? Who posted it there? Where did it come from? Why does it exist? If it was recorded on a news camera, then how is it that that footage made it to the internet to begin with? And if someone simply recorded it from the television as it is, then why did they include it in the footage on the news? Why would they leave something like that in there? Why have there been all of these things put in place to make it obvious that there are actors involved, to make it obvious that so much of this event was staged? I mean, you can't tell me that these people don't have the skill and the resources to actually pull this off properly so that people can't tell that so much of it was staged. But there's so much about this event which is so obviously staged and so obviously contrived and concocted that it's almost like they're teasing the population, they're pushing, and they are waiting for a reaction. So what is it really about? Is it just an attack against the Second Amendment, or is it actually something a little bit more sinister? Personally, I think that the footage of Gene Rosen rehearsing his lines was put there simply to create all of the questions that it's created. And I think things have been made so obvious simply because the powers that be knew that it would whip people up into a frenzy and it would cause people to start harassing those involved, people such as Gene Rosen. This is why he's getting harassed. This is why some of the alleged parents are also being harassed. This is why anybody involved with the case is being harassed. They made it obvious because there are certain people within the truth movement who may be a little bit unhinged and may react adversely to something as obvious as what we've seen posted about all these people. They want you to harass them. And they've set this in motion because they need an excuse. They need to put in place a mechanism with which to vilify members of the alternate research community and to present these people to society as people who are somewhat unhinged, a new group of enemies to watch out for. These are people who are a threat to society. Anybody who questions the government, this is a threat to society. Look what they're doing to these poor people who just lost their children, to this kindly man who just brought these children into his house. These crazies are harassing him. That's why they've made everything so obvious, because they want people to harass them. Who knows, most of the harassment is probably coming from government agencies. They probably do this themselves as well. And I wouldn't put anything past these people, folks, but I think they've made things this obvious specifically because they wish to vilify the truth movement. And I really do think that this event is far more about vilifying anybody who questions the government and whipping society up into a frenzy to do it, and painting anybody who suggests that things may not be the way the media tells you as an enemy of society. And I believe that it is more about pushing towards a civil war than it is about gun control. I think the specter of gun control and the obviously staged events that we've just seen leading up to it at Sandy Hook has been done this way because it isn't gun control the government's pushing for, it's confrontation. The government wants conflict. The government wants civil war. This is why we've seen all of the Lincoln rhetoric surrounding Obama of late. This is why the FEMA camps have been built. This is why Homeland Security has recently purchased so many hollow point bullets. This is what it's all been leading to, folks. And I truly do believe that it is a push towards civil war. I think the government wants the people to react. And that's why everything surrounding this case has been made so blatantly obvious. They know that the alternative research movement is going to pick up on it all, and they are taunting you. Just like a bully in a schoolyard. And this is a very heated issue, folks, and people get very passionate about it. People are in a state of mourning for what they perceive to be dead children, and then you come along and tell them that it's all a conspiracy and a big hoax by the government to steal our guns, and things can get quite heated, and quite an argument can develop. Things can sometimes even get aggressive, and when that happens, then these mainstream people see those who question the government as a real threat to society. They really do perceive them to be people who are unhinged because they've never really looked at the evidence. They don't know what's out there, which is causing all these people to question the official story. Because people in the mainstream, people that just buy into the media and believe everything the television tells them, are not going to go searching online for things such as Gene Rosen's rehearsal video. They're just not going to be looking for these things. It's only the conspiracy theorists that would even be looking for this stuff in the first place. And so it's just another wedge in the community. Divide and conquer, my friends, that is the methodology, and that is exactly what we are seeing in this case. So therefore we have all of these different factions within society fighting and arguing amongst each other. We have all this violence breaking out amongst people when they're even having discussions about it, and so we see a further dividing of the community because very few people actually sit down and discuss these things. You'll find that even the truthers are very, very agitated that people aren't awake, and you'll find that those who are asleep are very, very agitated that people would be questioning their belief system. So it does become very confrontational, and this is all planned, folks. They love that energy. They love to get society whipped up in that energy because it just makes government so much more appealing to the people. I mean, you don't need government in a society that runs smoothly. So if there is no problem, then the government will always whip one up because they need the people to be dependent upon them. And the people are not dependent upon government if they live in a free, open, and abundant society. They soon realize that they don't need government. So government is always whipping up little factions and whipping up as much enmity as it can amongst the people of its society, because that thereby creates a need for control, which thereby creates the need for government to begin with. And due to all the negative publicity that the alternate research into Sandy Hook is generating, I wouldn't be surprised if this also leads to further questions about internet censorship and limiting what people can and can't do on the internet. This, of course, follows hot on the heels of the death of Aaron Swartz, the man who started the program to stop SOPA, who was recently found dead in his apartment, having been pushed to suicide by the powers that be, if indeed it was a suicide. But he was found dead in his apartment, and he was apparently facing 30 years in jail at the hands of the system because he downloaded some PDF files, hacked into a company and downloaded some PDFs, which he didn't sell, didn't really do anything with, didn't make any profit from. He simply downloaded some PDFs. I mean, this is ridiculous, folks. This is a jail term worse than what you would get for raping a child or murdering someone. And this just shows how sociopathic and psychopathic these people are towards anybody who questions their authority. And, of course, their authority is fictional. It only actually exists on paper. Perhaps some noise could also be made about the public prosecutor that decided it would be a good idea to charge Aaron Swartz with a crime, even though the company that he hacked into did not press charges against him, and who decided that his sentence should be 30 years. Perhaps we could charge this person with being a sociopathic moron and ask him why he places the needs of a corporation above murder of a child and above a rape and above all of the terrible things that could be committed against people. How come these people get such short sentences and small sentences, and yet someone who committed a crime against a corporation for which there was no injured party and no malice done should receive a 30-year sentence? Perhaps we could question that as well and charge him with something and lock him up for 30 years as he so obviously deserves. These people just seem to be intent on enslaving the populace to a paper-based reality. And this can be further exemplified by Obama believing that he may even be able to sign an executive order on gun control. I believe there are many people within the United States now who are drafting articles of impeachment in this case. There are even many people calling for Obama to be charged with sedition. And this is precisely correct as well, folks, because this is an attack against the foundation stone of the United States, and the people need to pay attention. I mean, I think the guns are a great deterrent, but I don't think the matter should be approached by way of confrontation, because such confrontation can only ever lead to something like civil war. And I don't think the matter should be approached through civil war. Civil war will simply bring about the situation that the government wants, and this is what will be used to lock down the society. I mean, sure, if it comes down to the wire, then there's a good chance that people may be put into a position where they have to defend themselves, and if that happens, then they should, by all means, defend themselves. But I still believe it's best to explore all the peaceful options until all such avenues are completely exhausted. And don't think about American troops coming and fighting against the people at home, folks, because most of the American troops are abroad. What will be used will be United Nations forces and multinational forces. There's something like 10 or 15 countries that have got forces in America undergoing training at the moment. All of these forces could also be deployed. So there are plenty of foreign military forces within the boundaries of the United States already that could be brought to bear on this situation were it to break out into civil war. So it wouldn't necessarily be Americans firing upon Americans. It could be something very different. And I think most of the threat that the people face isn't really from the military. It's from the militarized police of the United States. A lot of these people are extremely dysfunctional, they're extremely sociopathic, and they have very violent tendencies, many of them, and so that is the real problem. But I still think that through public awareness and eloquent dialogue and public meetings and articles of impeachment, the matter can still be dealt with peacefully. And it is still my great hope that this is the path that will be chosen. I think there are still many peaceful options open to us, folks. I really do. And I think the best option that people have really is to wake up and to realize what they are and to realize what the government is and to realize that all we're seeing here basically is people farming. We're seeing humanity being used as a commodity whereby every person has an economic value attached to them and you are forced to pay if you step outside of the lines. This is human trafficking, folks. This is what our governments do, all governments, folks. The President of the United States is simply the CEO for the United States branch of the global people farm. That's all it is. And it's run by banksters, folks. The whole thing is run by the banksters. And I really hope that this year we're going to see people stand up and say enough is enough. We are sick of our trustees stealing from us and we're going to change the direction humanity is going in. That's what we have to do, folks. We have to stand up and we have to say, okay, now we are going in a different direction. So you politicians have a choice. You can come with us or you can get left behind. And if you try to complain, well, we'll go and drop you all on Christmas Island or something like that, and you can live there in the refugee camp. And that's what we need to do with these people, folks. We've got to understand that what we're facing here really is war. Our governments have declared war upon the people. In Australia here, the Australian government, the Gillard regime, Der Führer, Frau Gillard, has declared war upon the people of Australia by destroying our water table, by allowing coal seam gas to go ahead, by destroying our food bowl by selling it to China, allowing coal mines to be put through our food bowl. Australia is one of the most resource-rich nations on earth, and yet we have one of the highest costs of living in the world because none of the wealth that is being raped from this country is passed down to the people. We are literally being stolen from and reduced to poverty by public trustees who are acting in breach of trust. We've got to understand, folks, that this is war, and if we sit back and we do things by the parameters given to us by government, we are going to allow our nation and our planet to be destroyed because it says here on this piece of paper that we have to let it happen. Well, I think that's bullshit, folks. We don't have to let it happen at all. And this is the year, I believe, that the human race will get up off their knees and will actually start implementing some positive change. And that's what I intend to do, folks. That's what the Full Circle Project is going to be about. The Full Circle Project is going to be an umbrella mechanism that can be used for virtually any project that offers empowerment to the community in whatever community we visit. That's what I want to do. I want to create a mechanism whereby the whole world can get involved and we can create dialogue with the politicians as well. And I'm not interested in creating dialogue so I can have a discussion with them. I want to get them into a position where we can tell them what we are doing now and offer them the choice to come with us or to get left behind. Because that's what we have to do. We have to change the direction the planet is going in. We have to restore ourselves to the top of the food chain. And we need to do it now. Because if we don't, then our children are not going to have a future. And we have a responsibility to do this, folks, because we are the custodians of this planet. This generation is the custodians of this planet for future generations. And I think we're doing a god-awful job. And now is the time that we have to stand up and make a difference. And I'm really hoping that the people out there can feel what I'm saying to be true and will be prepared to stand up and do this with me because we have to take this world in a different direction. The future of life on this planet depends upon it. And no one else is going to do it, folks. Don't wait to be saved. There is nobody descending from the sky who's going to take you to heaven and allow the world to turn to hell around you. There is no galactic federation coming to pick you up. There is no alien intervention that's going to step in and save us. We have to do it ourselves. And until people are prepared to show a little backbone and show a little self-responsibility and start being accountable for their actions and realizing that we as mankind are accountable for all the problems that we face on this planet because we have failed to act. We've let the world turn to this hellhole around us and we've done so out of fear for what is written on paper
and we've failed to act. But now is the time we have to act. We've been given an ultimatum by creation, folks. It's got to the point now that if we don't act, then we're not going to have a planet to live on. So that's the choice. You either act or you die, and that is it. So which do you choose? It can be quite confrontational self-responsibility. And that's why a lot of people don't choose to ever step into it. There are very likely a large number of people on the planet who would prefer to allow the planet to die and the human race to become extinct rather than act, because they are so scared of facing the responsibility that they have. But I still believe there are enough of us here who will step up to the plate and who are prepared to take responsibility for their actions and who are prepared to act. And that's what I'm really hoping we will see this year, and I am certainly going to take as many steps as possible to create as much of a movement as possible and bring this concept to as many ears and as much into the public as possible. That is my mission for the year. Something's got to break, folks. Something's got to change, and it's not going to happen if we don't participate. And so that's what I'm going to do, folks. I'm going to get out there and do it, and I'm really hoping that you're all going to stand with me. Of course, I have the immediate inconveniences in my life, such as trying to find a new place to live, which I'm not having really much success with at the moment. It's very difficult to find anywhere that's affordable around here. And in fact, I'm thinking of basically selling everything I own and perhaps just hitting the road and becoming a traveller for the duration. Maybe just see where I end up. And that's very much on the cards as well. Of course, if that happens, it means I may be offline for certain periods of time and maybe not be able to do the shows quite as regularly as I am now. But that is definitely something that's on the cards. I'm actually thinking of moving to somewhere like the Philippines or possibly Hawaii, but then as nice as Hawaii is, unfortunately it is the United States, and that is somewhere that I really do not want to be. But yes, I am thinking about leaving Australia. I think it's all turning to hell in this country, mainly due to the blatant corruption of the Australian government and the unfortunately apathetic nature of the Australian people. And if things are going to continue down the same path that they are, then I really can't see much point in staying here. And of course, the situation in Australia very much hinges on what is going on in the United States at the moment as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see where this gun debate and push for conflict that the government is instigating is going to go. I think all eyes are on the United States at the moment because everybody knows how much of an effect it is going to have on the rest of the world. And only time will tell with that one. But I don't think we'll have very long to wait, folks. I think that by the end of February, or at least halfway through March, we will see some major changes within the United States, and we will have a little bit more of an idea where things are going. But I think it's incredibly important for the people of the United States, the ones who are rushing out there and buying arms and getting ready for a big showdown, I think it's very, very important for these people to clearly understand that what the government wants here is conflict, and that the best thing that could happen for the government at the moment is for the people to make a stand against the government in an armed uprising. It's absolutely what they want. And I think if the guns are there and people simply make a peaceful stand, sure, keep your gun at your side, but don't point it at anybody, but make a peaceful stand against the government and let them know that enough is enough. I think you still have the ability to change things, but people have to keep it clearly in mind that the best thing they can do for the government at the moment is to start a civil war, because that's what the government wants. That's what all this is about, folks. It isn't just an attack against the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is the bait that they are using to create the conflict that they want. And they have set up for this conflict well in advance. They've put all the FEMA camps in place. They've militarized the police over the last few years. They've given them sound cannons and microwave cannons and drones. They've just supplied them with millions upon millions of hollow points, and they are ready. and they are like the bully in the schoolyard that is taunting the population and simply itching for conflict. Because once that conflict happens, they will crack down with such blinding force that if the people are not fully organized, then they will be crushed. And the corporate-controlled war machine that is the United States of America will be free to carry out its rampage around the world. Remember, folks, this isn't the United States doing this. This is a corporate-controlled system that is ultimately run by Zionist bankers. So don't go blaming your country or blaming the lower sections of your government, because what you are seeing is a corporate-controlled Zionist mechanism. That is what the United States is. And what this mechanism is pushing for, folks, is conflict. That's what this is all about. That's what they want in the United States right now, is conflict. So you must not give it to them. You must draw up articles of impeachment. Even if you have to impeach the entire executive branch. I mean, you've got to understand that there are domestic enemies that have taken over your country. Just this attack on the Second Amendment shows you that these are domestic enemies. The attack on the First Amendment that Obama has put in place since he was sworn to office. The fact that Obama is the head of the UN Security Council. I mean, how can you be head of the United Nations Security Council and be president of the United States at the same time? Isn't that treason? Isn't that a breach of your presidential oath? This is treason, folks. Everything Obama has done is treason, and anybody that supports him in his cabinet has also committed treason against the United States. And the people in the United States are now being delivered an ultimatum. Either you stand up and step up to the plate and you restore the republic, or you're going to lose it completely, because we're going to take your guns and then you're going to have no means of defending yourself. And if you think you're going to launch into a civil war to prevent us from taking your guns, well, then we are totally prepared for your uprising. We've got all the camps in place. We've got all the hollow points. We've got the armor. We've got the drones. We've got the satellite surveillance. We've got everything we need to lock this country down into a police state the likes of which the world could only imagine. And that's what we're going to do if you fight us. So the only thing the American people can do in this moment really is to stand in solidarity and to restore the republic. You still have enough people to do this in a peaceful manner. And if you make announcements to do this, I guarantee you're going to have soldiers deserting and coming home by the plane load, by the boat load. There's going to be thousands of soldiers that are going to want to come home and stand with the people of their country. We've all seen this coming for a long time, folks. We all knew there would be a moment when the world had to make a stand, and that time is now. But I think it's break time, folks, so I'll leave it there. Thank you for joining me on the show today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so changing times in 2013. It certainly is coming down to the wire, isn't it? You know, we all knew this was going to happen. We all knew there was going to come a time when things were really going to come down to the wire. And when you look at what's been happening with this whole Sandy Hook debacle, the way the people are being attacked now, you know, Robie Parker had to take down the Emily Parker Facebook fund page because of the abuse, and he's posted there, "Oh, I'm sorry, but I had to take it down because of all the negative comments and conspiracy comments I was getting." And you see Gene Rosen appearing on the news saying how he's being attacked by truthers and all this sort of stuff. This is all contrived, folks. They've done it this way because they want you to attack. They've wanted to make it obvious. The way they had the image of Robie Parker smiling before he went to air on the television. They had the footage of him there smiling as he walked up to the camera. The reason Gene Rosen's audition footage or rehearsal footage or whatever it is, that video of Gene Rosen, he's standing there, he's got a blue jacket on, he's leaning on the bonnet of a car and he's rehearsing his lines. What is that video doing on the internet? How did it get on the internet? Who recorded it? Who put it on the internet? Why is it there? It's there to generate controversy. The images that were included of Robie Parker smiling as he walked up to the camera are there to generate controversy. Of course they are, folks. Why else would they be there? Why would they include them? Even if the camera was rolling before it hit the news, why would they include that footage? Why wouldn't they edit that bit out?
They didn't edit it out because they left it in there purposely because they wanted it in there. I mean, there's so many things that look like they're set up there purposely to trap the truth movement, folks. The fact that the last drawing done by one of the children just happened to be an owl. Then you have Obama going on television and saying there's some pundits who are going to claim that this is a massive attack against liberty, but it's not. And he's smiling and laughing as he says it. They're taunting you. They want conflict. They've made it this way so that it will create conflict and it will also vilify the truth movement at the same time. It will make all those people who have been standing up against the government and trying to point out the reality of the situation to the people look like crazies. And that's what they're doing it for. Then people will go researching this information. People from the mainstream will go researching this information. They'll find sites like WellAware One, which are going to feed them massive amounts of disinformation. And they're going to see that site and they're going to say, my God, these people are so unstable and they live in such a fantasy world that they're going to throw all of the good information out with what's on these sites. And really, folks, if you look at the big picture, I mean, you put it all together, if you're a mainstream person and you're told that all of these children have been killed, and then you see that the people involved in the case are now being harassed by conspiracy theorists, and then you go online to search these conspiracy theories out for yourself, and you find sites such as WellAware One telling you that the whole world is run by actors and they're all from one family, and you're going to think, well, these are these prepper people. That's who Adam Lanza was. That's who his mother was. They were people who believed this sort of stuff, and this is what they believe, so they're all crazy. And you're going to see them as a threat to your security and a threat to your safety. You're going to think these people are completely crazy. Look at the stuff they believe. They believe the whole world's run by actors. And not only that, but they're prepared to go and kill children, and they're prepared to go and harass anybody that they believe who is involved in one of the conspiracies, such as the parents and supporters of the children who were just killed. So these people are dangerous. That's the way mainstream people are going to think. And that's why this case has been set up the way it has. It's been set up to not only lock the United States down into a police state, but also to paint anybody who has any resistance to it as being crazy. And I'm sure a lot of the population will know this, but the media will spin it in the other direction. The media will always spin it so that the resistance is the minority. These are the fringe dwellers and the minority population of crazy conspiracy theorists, but all you normal people know that it's really the other way around. And they'll spin it that way. And they'll create the trend which will make it that way for those people who believe only in the mainstream media. That's what they do, folks. They just spin it in whatever direction they want it to go in. And so now more than ever, people in the truth community, people in the alternate research community, people who are awake need to lead by example in all that they do. You cannot behave irrationally in regards to this matter. When communicating this information to people, you have to stick to facts and you have to speak eloquently and you have to simply point out the obvious. That's the way we have to deal with it. Now more than ever, it's important to pay attention so as not to fall into the traps that have been laid for you. I mean, this has been very, very carefully orchestrated, folks, and the global community and the alternate research community, the awake community, the activists of the world need to be very, very careful how they play this. They need to step back and really look at what's going on here. This is a very, very crucial time, folks, and quick judgments and rash decisions could lead people in a very, very bad direction. And so we have to be careful what we do, and we have to pay attention to what is happening and what's being said and how this is being played and how it's being spun by the mainstream media. The thing is, there are a lot of anomalies with the Sandy Hook case. That is absolutely certain. But there's nothing that anybody can really know for sure. All we can do is look at the questions that have been posed and look at the response that it's generating. I mean, even with Robbie Parker and the other family members who all seem to be smiling, I mean, who knows, folks? Maybe they're all on Prozac and they're not able to feel any emotion.
mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. I said that from day one. I don't know. I wasn't there. All I can do is offer my opinion and offer my perspective on what's going on. And I'm not really looking at the event so much and trying to point the finger at who did it and did the children die or did they not die. What I'm looking at is what's happening surrounding the event, how the event works on the global stage, where it fits in, what piece of the puzzle is it. What are we seeing? We're seeing an attack against the Second Amendment. But really, is that all we are seeing? And as I said earlier, I don't think it is just an attack against the Second Amendment. I think the attack against the Second Amendment is the bait that is being given to the people in order to create the conflict that the government wants. That's what I actually think this is all about, folks. Ordo ab chao is the motto. Order out of chaos. And I really do believe that it's like the bully in the schoolyard. It's a push for conflict. They are taunting the population. They are trying to get a reaction, and they are vilifying all of the alternate research community in doing so. It's such a pivotal event, and it's been so well constructed, and there's been so much groundwork done leading up to it, that the chances of it being just a random event are very, very remote, because it fits so well on the global stage that it has to have been orchestrated. But what's important is for people to react in the right way. And we can't have a knee-jerk reaction and just go into revolution and civil war. Now, that should be an absolute last resort. It needs to be done through the process that's in place already in the United States. It was put in place by the Constitution. And all of America needs to recognize this, that there is a better way. There is a much better way than disarming the people. I mean, when you look at the United States of America, this is not a government that you wish to give any more power to. You really don't. I mean, if you're an American citizen, you've got to understand that you've got militarized police that have just been given all sorts of exotic weapons and have just been issued with like 3 hollow points for every man, woman and child in the country. You've got new executive orders which allow anybody to be arrested and held without charge. You've got executive orders that allow the use of torture. They call it enhanced interrogation techniques. You've got secret prisons all around the world. You've got secret prisons in the Balkans. You've got secret prisons in Turkey. You've got Guantanamo Bay, which Obama promised to close down years ago. You've got hundreds of as yet unoccupied FEMA detention centers that have been constructed all over the United States that is there waiting for something. You've got illegal wars being waged in Afghanistan. You've got the illegal wars being waged in Iraq. You've got 179 children killed by predator drones in Pakistan in the last year alone. Children, just collateral damage. Nobody cried for those children when they were killed by Obama's drones. And Obama signs off on every drone strike. He is responsible for the death of every one of those children. And even when looking at the drone strikes on the children in Pakistan, you may say, oh, that's just collateral damage, but that isn't the point. The point is that the government killed 179 children under the guise of bringing safety and security to the world. Does anybody see a problem here? These are the people who wish to take your means to defend yourself away from you, my friends. And if you think, look, it's not going to affect me because I don't commit crime, well, when you consider the austerity measures that are about to be introduced throughout the United States, this is going to force people into a situation where they're forced to commit crimes in order to survive, where they're forced to steal food. I mean, there is a real crunch coming, folks, and they always force people into situations where they are committing crimes just to survive. And, of course, these crimes aren't really crimes. They're simply breaches of legislation. The legislation itself is usually a crime, really, when you look at it and put things in a proper perspective. The enactment of the legislation itself, to begin with, is the actual crime. But never mind that, we're the government, and so we can basically do anything we want, and nobody can do anything about it because we say so. So they enact the legislation anyway, and so it becomes easy for people to commit these so-called crimes any time, and then suddenly you're whisked off with no trial, no charge, nothing like that. They just grab you off the street and they put you into one of their privately run prisons somewhere there to stay for as long as they wish to keep you in there. This is the type of government you've got in the United States. You've got a high-tech version of Nazi Germany just hiding there behind the curtains, and all they need to do is disarm the American people to put this government into full effect. And woe betide anyone who should dare to speak out against the system, because you must be one of those crazy conspiracy theorists who kills children and terrorizes their parents. That's the way it's being played. And if they do manage to get the guns from the American people, then following the loss of firearms will come the austerity measures. And then the only jobs that will exist in the United States will be working in hospitality, working in government, working in the military, or working in a factory making some part for the military. And there will be no way for the American people to escape the situation that they're in. I hope it doesn't come to this. I really do hope that it doesn't come down to something as drastic as the scenario that I've just outlined for you. And I really do wish to make it crystal clear that I don't believe in civil war. I don't believe in armed conflict until such a time as it becomes absolutely necessary. I really believe that all that is needed is some good public speakers, but we do need a big outcry. We need outcry everywhere. If you're someone in any town, anywhere in America, and you know what's going on and you can speak eloquently, you've got to point out the obvious things to the people. You don't have to talk about any conspiracy theories. All you've got to do is point out some of the things that the government has done, the fact that they've legalized torture, the fact that they've removed habeas corpus, the right to trial, the right to representation, the right to know what you're accused of, and now they're disarming the people. They practice such things as rendition, and they deliver people to illegal prisons that they have all around the world. They have built dozens, if not hundreds, of detention centers throughout the United States, FEMA detention centers. They've got everything ready. They've just given the police all of these hollow points. They've got everything ready for revolution and for a takeover of the nation. And all they need do to succeed is to take the arms from the people. And truly, the easiest way for them to take the arms is through conflict. If the people initiate conflict against the government, then they will have their arms taken from them. That's the thing. But if they can first step forward eloquently, politely, but firmly to restore the republic and put this spirit of America back into the hearts of the people and back into the hearts of the population, then if it does come down to the wire, they have a real possibility of succeeding. And don't listen to what the media tells you. Don't listen to the media vilifying the gun lobby. I mean, the media is putting the gun lobby on the same platform as terrorists. They're saying, look, if the president can find Osama bin Laden, if the president can defeat the forces of Al-Qaeda, then they can defeat the gun lobby. You know, they're putting it on the same level as that. So they're really trying to vilify. But don't listen to what the media is saying. The gun lobby are the people who are trying to protect the country. And the government is in the process of stealing the country. There is a coup taking place, my friends. People just aren't noticing, but there is a coup. The United States of America is being stolen right now. This is a coup. And it's a coup that's been run with the complicity of the media. They are absolutely complicit in this. In fact, they are playing a major part, which shows you just how controlled the mainstream media is, because there is no objective discussion about this. It's blanket across the board. Take the guns, vilify anybody who says anything against it. That's what the media is promoting. And the United States of America is teetering on the brink of oblivion. This is a coup, my friends. America has been invaded. It's been invaded by a corrupt Zionist sector which has taken over your government and is seeking to disarm the American people, to disarm the United States, to use it for its own purposes. And it's about time the people of the United States woke up to the reality of this and stood up to restore the republic. There's very few of them, folks, and there's a large number of you. And even the police, if you present things to the police in the right way, I believe these people will wake up. If they respect their country at all, they will wake up and they will do the right thing. Because if they don't, well, they will be the bottom of the food chain. They'll just be swept out with everybody else once the crunch comes. The government doesn't care about the police. It doesn't care about the armed forces. It doesn't care about the people that it gets to do its dirty work for it. All it cares about is control. And what you've got to understand is that the American government is no longer being run by forces that are loyal to the United States. It's been run by a Zionist mechanism, ultimately out of Europe, I believe. I think it's all connected. I think the Crown Corporation, the Vatican system, the whole Jewish sector, the whole thing, I think it's all connected, folks. I think it's all one mechanism. That's why you can't just blame the Jews. It's not the Jews, it's this whole corporate mechanism. They're all connected. These are just simply different arms of the same octopus. But ultimately, the real problem is our fear. It's our failure to step into self-responsibility. It's our failure to know who we are. Because ultimately, it all has to come down to the heart of the individual. That's what it all comes down to in the end. Now, you can pull down government, you can do whatever you want, you can have fights with guns and you can stand up for gun rights, and ultimately it doesn't matter if you're not in the right heart space. Because no matter what we do, we're never going to change anything until we step into our hearts. That's what it all comes down to. The connection that we could actually have to this planet, if we were fed clean food and allowed to drink clean, fresh water and live in harmony with nature the way we should be, the connection we could have to the planet would be absolutely phenomenal. And the world would be such a different place. And we are so far from that, and that's something that we do need to get back to. And the people who know that often say, well, guns aren't the issue. Why are you even addressing that? All you've got to do is change your heart space. And I know that's true. I do need to be in the right heart space, but so do the people out there. And for many people, this is a gradual process. It's a step-by-step process. It's this feeling of self-empowerment, but it does take time. But in order to go through any such process, everybody has to take the first step. And I think that this is what this is. This is a first step to empowerment. This is the time in history when people can stand up and say, hey, no, enough is enough. We're not going to do this. We don't want our guns for violence, but we're going to keep our guns in case you threaten us with taking them. Because if you want to take them, but you want to keep yours, then we think that there's something darker going on here, and we don't trust you anymore, and we're not going to allow you to do it. We don't want to take your guns, but you want to take ours, so we see a problem. And that's the thing, folks, and you really have to be able to see that there is a problem there, and the problem is everything that I mentioned before. The problem is the loss of habeas corpus, the legalization of torture, the secret prisons, all of the stuff that the United States government has put in place. It is not a government that stands for freedom anymore. It is a government that has brought terrorism and tyranny to countless countries around the world, and it's about to bring that same terrorism and tyranny to its own people, because now it's time to do so. That's how to further consolidate the machine. And so that's what it's doing. And the people need to wake up and pay attention. And you see, that's the only way it's ever got this far, folks, because people haven't been paying attention. Too many people within the United States have lived in a little boxed view of reality. They only acknowledge that which exists within their own backyard. They allow atrocities to happen overseas because they don't believe it will ever happen to them. But it's the mere fact that they have allowed it to happen to quite literally millions of people overseas throughout the years that has brought it back to them. That's what's created the mechanism which has allowed the government to bring it home. It's through people's willing ignorance of the facts and people's willingness to look the other way in the face of atrocities that have been carried out by their own government because they've been too concerned about their own creature comforts. And now it's coming back to bite them, and people need to start paying attention. Enough is enough, folks. It's time for you to stand up and to restore the Republic. You have the numbers and you have the strength to still do it peacefully, and future generations, including your own children, are depending on you doing so. Now is the time that you are being called by creation to make a difference in the world, because the only person who can make that difference is you. But you have to be prepared to do it, and that goes for every single person out there. You have to be prepared to stand up and pay attention and to actually do something about this situation, because if you do not, then you are allowing a world that will not be worth living in to be created for the future of this planet. And this will go global, my friends. Once the West falls, then the rest will follow. It will be that simple. And we will have the entire globe locked down into the most high-tech prison camp you have ever seen. And the resources of this planet will be stripped bare. That's what's happening. And it's happening due to the inaction of the people. So enough is enough, folks. It's time to stand up and do something about this while we still have the means to do so peacefully. I firmly believe this is an incredibly crucial time in history. This is the most important event we have seen since the 9/11 attacks. This is the event that is taking it to the next level. And this has been so well orchestrated that there should be no doubt in anybody's minds that this is most definitely a staged event. Whether children died or not, it is still an event that has been placed right there. It's a piece on the chessboard, an integral piece to further the globalist agenda. And I know that because that is exactly how it is being played. In any of these events, folks, the first question you ask is qui bono? Who benefits? And when you see how this benefits the globalist agenda, there can be no doubt whatsoever that this has been very, very well orchestrated. And there's plenty of evidence lying around to suggest that this is a plan that has been a long time, at least 2 years, in the making. But just to reiterate, I think that people really need to use their discernment when dealing with this case. Just think about what you actually know and what's been put there for you to know. Think about how much of this has been constructed to create the controversy that it has created and where it's leading. Because what it's leading to is conflict. What it's leading to is a situation where the American people will be left without the means to defend themselves, and those people who would stand up against the government will be vilified and painted as a domestic enemy that kills children. I mean, this has really been so well constructed, folks, that what we're seeing here is that the people of America have basically been put into check, and if they're not prepared to come up with a brilliant move of self-empowerment, then they are going to be heading for checkmate. And so people need to be very, very careful how they play this. And as I've said earlier on the show, and I've said on a couple of shows previously, I really do think this is the most important event we have seen in the United States since the 9/11 attacks. Indeed, it was the 9/11 attacks that created the mood for them to be able to stage this type of event in the first place. But I would even go so far as to say that this event is even more significant than September 11 attacks because of the possible impact that this event could have not only upon America but also upon the rest of the world. And wherever you happen to live, folks, don't think that what happens in the United States is not going to affect you, because it is. Because the war machine that is America is what's being used by these Zionist forces to carry out the destruction and the wars that are being waged around the planet. It's all being done through the support of the American military. And what this move of stealing the weapons and the austerity measures that will follow it is doing is it's forcing most of America to join the war effort. That's what it will do. It will result in a massive escalation of the American military machine, and this is what they need to bring about the Third World War they so desire. They've been talking about this for a long time, folks, and we have been waiting for this event. And here it is. It's right there for us to deal with right now. We've all seen it coming, and now is the time you have to step up. I mean, those of you who are out there and have been researching this and have been speaking out against the system and doing what you can to get the word out for others, well, now is the time that you have to stand up, and you've got to make this effort as vocal and as public as possible. But again, it's got to be done eloquently. It's got to be done in the right energy so that you reach the people and not alienate the people. And I simply cannot overstate the need for people to pay attention and to do this, folks, because this is a coup. America is being stolen by forces from within. And the only people who can fix the situation are the American people. So it's time to stand up, and it's time to restore the Republic. And truly, my heart goes out to every single person within the United States of America at this very, very crucial time in the nation's history. Well, folks, we're completely out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it there. Thank you for joining me on the show today. Please share this broadcast.
It is an important issue, and I think it's important that people see what's going on. Thank you to anybody who has ever contributed to the Crow House. If you ever can, it's very much appreciated and it's very much needed. It's the only way I'm able to continue doing what I do. I know we are all facing difficult times at the moment, and I'm most certainly facing such times myself with this move that I have to do. Although it's probably very synchronistic, folks. I think I'm simply being told that it's time to uproot and become a nomad. And perhaps that's just what I will do. But either way, I will still be on the air next week, and so I will look forward to speaking to you again next Friday. Please take care until then. In Lakesh, my friends, in Lakesh.